I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to KSL Outdoors Radio. Tim and Russ, our producer Matt Jalalian, also here this morning on the other side of the glass. Happy to have Chuck Jennings on the air with us. you don't
Chuck.
Like that?
Well, I don't know. I don't think he goes by Chuck.
Well, I did send him a happy birthday in the name of Sir Charles.
Yeah, there you go.
Is that better?
I like that better.
Yeah, Sir Charles has joined us.
How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Do you want to share what number birthday it was, or are we just sort of forgetting that part?
You want us to guess?
Oh, well, you know what? It's 39 plus a few years.
Attaboy. So, Sir Charles, 39 plus this week. Happy birthday. We were going to sing. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday,
dear.
Sir Charles.
Sir Charles.
Happy birthday
to you.
Thank you. I stand an inch taller.
You're celebrating a birthday by doing what? You're going to go to King's Peak?
Oh, we're headed into the Henry's Fork Basin and either King's Peak or Gilbert Peak. So, whichever has less snow.
You haven't decided yet, huh? You want to wait till you get there and see what you're going to have to tackle?
Yeah. Just have a plan A and a plan B.
Yeah, good idea.
What's the difference in the two peaks? Elevation, I guess.
A little bit of elevation. King's Peak is a little more challenging because you got a boulder field from Anderson Pass up to the peak. Gilbert Peak's simpler, not as much boulders, rocks, whatnot. So,
have you had any reports about the amount of snow that still might be hanging around?
I have. About a week or two ago, they were saying that from Gunsight Pass going up to King's Peak, there was still a significant amount of snow in one of the ultramarathon. Adult says, well, why don't we just pack snowshoes on the back of our backpack?
And you said, because I'm not in the mood to put snowshoes on in July.
Snowshoes aren't very effective on ice.
Yeah, that's like guys who have a four-wheel drive truck and go really fast on icy roads because they have four-wheel drive. And I said, hey, four wheels actually slide really good just like two wheels do.
Oh, we see that in Sardine Canyon quite a bit in the wintertime.
Yeah. So you're not in the mood to actually have to carry snowshoes with you?
No. Plus, I can't put snowshoes on the goats either, so.
That'd be awkward.
I wouldn't mind seeing
those
photos.
If I was a goat, I wouldn't let you put them on me, okay?
Do they have such a thing?
They got booties, don't they?
No. They do have skis that you can put on their hooves. No, I'm just kidding.
What do you do, just pull them? Pull your goat around you?
Well, let's see. They have goggles for dogs they call doggles. Yeah. What would goggles for goats be?
Googles.
I guess they'd still be goggles.
It'd be googles.
I guess.
Yeah. So besides you and the goats and the ultra marathoner that you're going to be doing this with, who all's going?
Oh, there's several adults in this group. They've got like 20 young men that are going, so they're going to split them up into two different groups a mile apart. So I'm just kind of along for the ride, and I don't have to be in charge this time, so it'll be nice.
So this is a church group?
It is.
All right.
It is.
Why are the goats going, or is that just to keep you company?
Keep me company, and because I don't want to pack a 50-pound pack.
Curious stuff.
I enjoy their company more than I do young men. So. Yeah.
That's nice to tell world as we get ready to make this trip together. aren't they going to wonder why you get a goat to carry a pack and none of them do?
Yeah. Well, actually, they're taking five horses in.
Oh.
One adult is, so they've got their four-legged transportation. Hauling in Dutch ovens and some other stuff. So,
when does this glorious adventure take place?
Next week.
You sound so excited.
Hey, I'm fired up, man. It'll be nice to be up at 10, 11,000 feet, yeah. So get out of the heat.
So will you be taking your, say it, Tim.
What?
Pulse.
Oh, no, go ahead. The pulsometer gigometry thing.
No, I mentioned to Tim earlier in the show that I sent out 3 pulse oximeters today. Not today, yesterday.
Oh, pulse oximeter.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And,
heck yeah.
And after I told them the story, they said, yeah, do you have one? You know.
Well, sure. And for those that may not have heard the story the first time, share people what happened with you.
Well, we arrived at the trailhead in the Wind Rivers, and I went from 4,300 feet elevation up to about 92 in a few hours. And then we pushed it about 8 or 9 miles up to 10.6, and it was a hot day. And me and my short legs was trying to keep up with a guy with long legs. And long story short, about midnight, I couldn't breathe. And I knew I had altitude sickness, and I knew it was a long way back to the trailhead, so we got on the sat phone and called for medevac, and I got life flighted out of the Wind Rivers. Mm. So
that was how many years ago was that?
Oh man, it was like 3.
Three, yeah.
And you didn't have any other medical conditions that led to that, did you?
Oh, I have sleep apnea, but I've got a portable machine that I. Oh, I didn't take that with me, though.
You didn't even have a chance to use it anyway. You were sick before your first
I was sick to my stomach. I knew I had altitude sickness.
Yeah.
Just loss of appetite and wanted to vomit. And anyway.
So does that give you pause then to do this, if it ends up being King's Peak? Does it give you pause to do King's Peak then?
It's not.
That would be yes.
No, I never
just a little
paused.
Bit.
I just a little more prepared, a little more take it easy. That's why I'm going in Monday and just taking my time.
Yeah.
Take my pulse oximeter, just kind of watch things.
Is this a one day, I don't know, is it a one day in and out, or are you spending a weekend?
Heck no. I'm spending the week.
The week?
Yeah.
Okay. And is the entire group spending the week?
They're coming in Wednesday, and they're leaving Saturday.
Okay. I'm just trying to give people an idea, you know, for those that may want to do a King's Peak trip. I don't know how much later in the summer you could wait. I truly think, and I had this conversation with Roger Eggett at Bear River Lodge, that some of the snow may still be hanging at the highest of elevations when next year's snowpack begins.
Well, I firmly believe this is the start of the next
Ice Age. Attaboy.
That's right.
I expect you to
We're going to have carryover ice. We're going to start with ice fields up high, and sooner or later they're going to be small glaciers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, well, that's the world according to Russ,
hey,
right there.
Give it 1,000 years. It'll happen.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to take there's a company that makes these bug shirts out of Canada, and I'm definitely going to take that because this time of year, there probably will be a lot of mosquitoes.
Yes, there is.
Just want to get ready for that.
Up there, they're probably just hatching now up in the high country, but boy,
ready to
people in Wyoming on treks. Going on trek in Wyoming is just like clouds of mosquitoes.
Remind me the elevation of King's Peak. Is it 16?
13,528.
All right. We were at 10,000 feet on Hidden Peak, and it's a little bit warmer now than it was a couple of weeks ago, but we went up to Snowbird and took the tram up, so it was 90 here, 73 on the plaza deck, and Russ up at Hidden Peak, it was like 52,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
52.
Wow.
Yeah. So you're not gonna need the down parka or the Hildeburg tent, are you?
Yeah, cold mornings.
Heck yes, I always take it because stuff can turn to you-know-what. If you're, you know, I just like to prepare for anything.
Yeah.
That high snow can hit any month of the year, and you just never know.
Better to be prepared.
The bad news is, Charlie, by my calculations, this is going to be the busiest 2 weekends on King's Peak of the year.
Oh, yeah. That's why I'm not camping at Dollar Lake.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Yep.
Dollar Lake is the popular spot?
Yeah.
It is. It is.
It's kind of a staging area, or?
Yeah, it's kind of a base camp where people set up camp and then they summit from there. And I just don't want to be, you know, like in a trailer park.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I want to
busy place.
Be elsewhere.
Well, good. Do it safely. Sounds like you're taking all the measures to do that. And take your pulsometer geometric fart smart, whatever that thing is.
Yeah, pulse oximeter. and also one of SkyCall Communications, actually two of them, sat
taking phones. A couple phones, yeah, from scouts.
One comment here is that I think in young men groups, underestimate the need for sat phones.
Oh, yeah.
They really do, you know. And when you're dealing with that many kids, you better be prepared. Safety has got to come first.
Well, we had that story last week. We were just talking about in Emory County where they were on the Green River and their homemade canoes and things went awry. I think one of the leaders actually ended up outside of his canoe within, you know, 2 minutes of this float. So, yes, anytime you can have a sat phone handy, particularly when other people's lives and other families' kids' lives are at risk, you want to take it along.
Well, you think about it, you know, who wants as an adult to go knock on the door and say, I'm sorry, but, you know, your son didn't make it.
Yeah.
You know, not
yeah.
me.
Yeah. Well, we wish you well on this effort. Do us a favor. Let us know which mountain you end up climbing. And you've got a sat phone. I guess you could call us. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. We'll look for a call next week.
Well, that sounds good. And by the way, I'm 62.
Oh, attaboy. Don't be afraid to say it.
See, I thought you were
62 years.
58.
I was just about ready to wish you a happy 39 plus, but 62 is good.
Put another candle on the back.
You may need a fire extinguisher to put that fire out if you put 62 candles on the cake. Don't try it.
No kidding.
Charlie, thanks for checking.
Yeah, my wife's just up to 6'2", so that's all she did.
She's smart. Thanks for checking in with us this week.
Yeah, thank you. It's always
a
pleasure.
All right. A quick break. We'll come back with some fish bites for you. And then right after the top of the hour, Scott Root joins us. We've got a... quick to hang. When he's done, he's done. All right. So fish bites and then Scott Root after the top of the hour. Stay right there. Welcome back. It's time for us to focus on fish bites here, and we will talk a little fishing with a guy that's sort of an AWOL. I think maybe in exile in some foreign land somewhere. Navadauskas. Yeah, I know. Now it's time to get back to work. I said on your Facebook, fun is done. Now get back to work. But you've got a couple of weeks before school starts up, right?
Yeah, but I got a fishing class coming right up in a couple of weeks.
Well, we'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. I also hope that you can join us in about an hour. We'll reconnect because I do want to get a recap of the final thoughts on your bike ride from Paris to London because it was
absolutely
so great. And unfortunately, our connection as you guys made your way across the English Channel was not the greatest. But I want to get information out there. Let's talk fishing, though, for a minute here. Faith Jolly, who took over Mark Hadley's position at the Division of Wildlife Resources, came out with a list of some fishing locations for beginning anglers, and I wanted to run a couple of them by you. My first thought was July and August, not really the best time to go out as a beginner and have hopes of catching fish. But she suggested heading to the high country.
Yes. That's absolutely, I totally agree with that. And in fact, it is a great time for beginners because the high country, the fish are so accessible, and I don't want to call them stupid, but they really are available to beginners. They're easy to catch right now, but you got to get to the altitude for sure.
There's a couple on this list. I already hinted to you before we jumped on the air what they were. One is Brown Lake, one is Moon Lake. Let's start with Brown. It's up in the Ashley National Forest, and you said you're familiar with this one.
Oh, yeah, and same with Moon. Those are great lakes. Those are heavily accessed by the Boy Scouts. Really easy to fish. In fact, there's a lot of fish in that whole region. That area is just dotted with great lakes. You just get a clear plastic bubble, and you can fish it two ways. You can half fill it with water and drag a fly behind it about, 30 inches, and just real slow. You can't miss. Or you can fill it with water, take it underneath, and put on sort of a scud pattern or a woolly bugger pattern or even a MEP spinner. You're not going to miss right now. Those fish are just craving everything. They're trying to put the fat stores on. Their feeding window is so small, and it's right now, and they have to get all their calories. So it is the best time to take the young ones or the beginners up to the high country because the fish are really available.
Well, and again, you're talking like a fly fisherman. You can use bait up there, too. So
absolutely.
Trailing a worm would work as well as a fly, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. It'd work just as well. They don't see worms as much as you think. I mean, they definitely see the shrimp and the scuds, but worm will work, no problem. Again, like a lure, no problem. Just a slow retrieve, give it a wake, and they're going to hit it. I mean, the frank truth is if you throw a flower petal out there, they're going to hit it.
You mentioned that their chance to get some fat storage is short. That one of the side benefits, of course, for the humans that are going up there to fish is you're going to get some break from the heat down here in the valley and probably trim as much as 20 degrees off. The other attraction to Brown Lake that Faith pointed out is there's a campground nearby and several hiking and ATV trails in the area, so that's a good one, too. But Moon Lake, let's talk about that. Oh, by the way, at Brown Lake, you're talking, I think, rainbows and brookies.
Right, and the brookies are the crazy ones. They put the rainbows in there. The brookies have been there for a long time. They're not really fans of them, but they are hard-fighting. And go ahead and eat those guys. They're really sweet tasting, and you can't eat too many. There's plenty up there.
Yeah. Now Moon Lake, also in the Ashley National Forest, not just rainbows, but there's tigers and kokanee there.
Yeah, they put the tigers in. They're man-made fish, but they're voracious feeders. They like a chartreuse color, I find. But yeah, they're a blast, and you go ahead and eat those because they're completely sterile.
It's a two-mile-long lake, high elevation, obviously, and the real attraction there is just the scenery, I think, and some nearby hiking trails. She also points out that they're open to horseback riding on those trails up there if you so desire. But again, same retrieval, same presentation, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. Just throw it out there. Again, I just take your spinning rod with a clear bubble. It hucks it out there great. And the fish aren't deep. They're cruising the surface. They're looking for termites. They're looking for anything that falls in. You could use salmon eggs if you want, even though they're out of season. The fish don't care right now. But, yeah, you're going to do great. And on the other side of the crest, if you come around from the other side, you've got Spirit Lake and those lakes, Long Lake. Those lakes are just as easy, maybe even more accessible by vehicle. And the same strategy. It's no-brainer. I wouldn't go to the bottom. A lot of people throw their line out and let it sink to the bottom and wait. Keep it moving. That's why I recommend the clear bubble. Keep it off the bottom. It gets down in the moss. The worm hides in the moss. The fish can't see it. And frankly, the fish get, the angler gets bored if they have to wait. There should be no waiting. You should get one on every cast, and that's no exaggeration.
All right. We have less than a minute here. What's this class that's coming up?
Well, it's hopper time. It's perfect. It's getting really hot, and we've had a lot of foliage, a lot of wetness. So the hoppers should be really great this year. I've got a dry fly class. Again, we're going to the high country. We're not going to fish the lakes. We're going to fish some rivers. Throwing hoppers is awesome because they're like 3 inches long. You can't miss them. They look like a bubble themselves, and the fish come up and hit them hard. We also put a dropper below them. I have a pretty good little bunch of people. We're going camping. We're just going to fish for cutthroat in the high country. I do it every year. It's probably my most popular class. Wildtrouts.com will get you to my webpage, and you can get me an email. I have a couple spots still available.
When does that start?
We start the last day of July, and we fish the first weekend of August.
All right.
Coming quick.
All right. That's wildtrouts.com if you want details. All right. We'll reconnect with you in about an hour, and we'll find out how the rest of your bike ride was into London. All right?
I can't wait. I'll be listening.
For our listeners, stand by. We've got a news update at the top of the hour. Then Scott Root from the Division of Wildlife Resources. A lot of bear sightings, and you'll be surprised, I know I was, at the number of transplants. They're having to move these bears out of certain areas. It's more than double we had all of last year. That's coming up. Stay with us.
Ooh la la, oh my my, things get cooking around 4:15. Men get stupid and women roll their eyes. And Tammy does a shimmy at the fish fry. Yeah.